Soyez les bienvenus dans ce podcast. Nous allons échanger avec le chef de bureau de la CPI en Centrafrique. Je suis Bongolo Chema, jeune reporter, en compagnie de
Mayorode Estimé, jeune reporter.
Ce podcast est exclusivement enregistré en anglais. Bonne écoute à vous.
Hello, welcome on this podcast. We are going to have a meeting with the representative of the ICC in Sihaher. I'm Chema Bongolo, young reporter, and I am with
Mayorode Estimé, young reporter.
Have a great time.
Hello, my name is Chema, and I am a young journalist of the Lycée Français Charles de Gaulle, and I'm here to ask you some questions. So first, can you present yourself and your job?
I'd be delighted to, thank you. And first of all, thank you for coming here and showing an interest in the work of the ICC, the International Criminal Court. My name is Mike Cole. Mike is an English name. It's a diminutive of the name Michael. So Michel en français, but Mike Cole. And I am the representative of the International Criminal Court in the Central African Republic. And I also have a second role of being the head of this office that we're sitting in today.
How works the ICC here in Central African Republic?
That's a small question with a huge answer. The work of the ICC in the Central African Republic. In some ways, you can look at it simply as the judicial work that is going on in relation to things that have happened in this country in the past. In other ways, if you look at it bigger, you can look at the work of the ICC in terms of trying to prevent future crimes, trying to create a worldwide environment where there is no impunity for the people who commit the worst crimes in the world. And the sort of crimes we're talking about are crimes against humanity, war crimes, genocide. Now, those are easy words to say, but you have to really understand what they mean underneath those words. It's in times of conflict, crimes like rape, murder, forced displacement, destruction of civilian objects, torture. Really the most terrible crimes in the world, often committed by people with guns, people with military power against people who have no power. And so in some ways, the court is the, in some places, the only ability for the people that have no real military or forceful power or political power to be able to try and seek justice for the crimes that have been committed against them. In terms of a more specific look at what the court is doing here, on two occasions, the Central African authorities, the presidents at the time, have invited the court to come and investigate crimes that have taken place in this country. And it's we're on what we call the second situation, which is when the Central African Republic said to the ICC prosecutor, please can you come and investigate with your independent approach, nothing to do with the warring parties, completely independent, investigate what took place here during those years of 2012, 2013, 2014, what people talk about as being the anti-Balaka, ex-Seleka conflict. And so at the moment, what the court is doing both here and in The Hague, of course, and in other countries, because it doesn't only sit just here, is investigate and prosecute people who are accused, and this is important, really important, they are accused of having committed crimes that the ICC has jurisdiction over. Nobody in relation to 2012, 2014, yet has been found guilty. And one of the fundamental approaches that the court, indeed, but virtually all courts in the world take, is that you are innocent. You are presumed to be innocent until you are proven guilty. And that's proven guilty by independent and impartial judges after hearing all the evidence that has been brought before them. And the office here in Bangui, in the Central African Republic, is part of that justice process. This office is actually a part of what's called the registry. If you think about the balance, the scales of justice, you have two sides normally. You have one side being the prosecution and one side being the defense. And in the middle, there's a pillar holding up the scales. And I like to think of that pillar as being the registry. It's the neutral part of the court that is there to support the whole justice process, to ensure that justice is done, just like the judges ensure that justice is done, but without fear or favor for one party or the other. That was a very long answer to a very short question.
Which kind of crimes were judged here in Central Africa Republic by the ICC?
Well, I've already mentioned the sorts of crimes that the court, the International Criminal Court, has jurisdiction over, but specifically in relation to the current trials that are going on in The Hague. And there are three processes at the moment in The Hague. There is the trial of Mr. Ngaysuna and Mr. Yekatom. They've been joined together. There is the trial of Mr. Saeed Abdulkani. And there is also the forthcoming trial, pre-trial, where it's what's called at the moment, of Mr. Mokom, Maxime Mokom. And in all of those cases, the crimes are typically, whilst the specific details go into much more details, typically the crimes are referred to as either crimes against humanity or crimes de guerre, war crimes.
Amrod Estimé, young reporter. So what do you think of the Special Criminal Court in Central African Republic?
I have had the real pleasure to see the birth of the Cour Pénale Spéciale. I think everybody agrees that the closer you can bring justice to a country and to the people, the better. I think the concepts and the ideas behind the Cour Pénale Spéciale are absolutely fundamental and vitally important to the transitional justice and reconciliation sort of part of justice in a country, because nobody wants to see trials taking place hundreds, thousands of miles away unless they absolutely have to. The ICC was invited in here by President Catherine Samba-Panza because there was no potential for independent impartial tribunals investigations and then tribunals to judge the crimes that have taken place at the time when they're invited in. With the Cour Pénale Spéciale being here now, future crimes can be investigated by a much more local court with some safeguards. For instance, in the CPS, I think I'd be right in saying it's what they call a hybrid court. There's an international element to a national court. It's a court founded on Central African law, passed in your parliament, in your Assemblée Nationale, but it also has some international elements to it, international judges, international prosecutors. The special prosecutor is from Congo. There is a judge from Germany. There's an investigating magistrate from Switzerland, I think one from Belgium. So it has an international and a national element to it. And what the CPS is doing, from my point of view, is it's complementary to what the ICC is doing. We're not opposite. We have exactly the same mission in many ways. So many people ask me, what's the difference between the ICC and the CPS, or the CPE and the CPS? I said, I don't really see much difference. We're two independent and impartial tribunals with exactly the same mission. Justice for the victims of crime, of the worst crimes in the world. Crimes against humanity, war crimes, genocide. We all live together in what we call the Maison de la Justice, the House of Justice. They have one room in the house, we have another room. But we can work together, and the more we work together whilst retaining our independence, the more effective will be the delivery of justice for the victims of crime who may have otherwise given up on any hope of justice for the crimes that were committed against them.
And what advice do you give to our classmates who want to have career in this field?
Well, it's interesting you should say this field. What do you mean this field? Because in this office, we have people who are lawyers. We have people who are communications experts. We have people who work in the field of security. We have people who work with victims of crime. We have people who protect witnesses. So when you talk about this field, I imagine you're thinking about the court. But, right, of my function. Well, so I am a lawyer, but I don't do really much law. But I'm interested in what, I'm passionately interested and believe in what the court does. So I think if you have an interest, maybe not even a passionate interest, but if you have an interest in something naturally, then it helps you strive towards achieving that interest, and you feel that it's worthwhile to work in that particular field. So when I was at school, I didn't think, I want to be the chief of an office in an international criminal court somewhere in the world. It was a path, and it was a path that had many turns, and I suppose my 15 years in the army, I saw the effects many times of people with power using that power to for their own benefit, not for the benefit of serving others, but for their own benefit to gain even more power. And I saw effectively, and it was always typically men, I'm afraid, men with guns using power against civilians, often women, often children, who didn't have power. It's what we'd call in England bullies. They were bullies with guns. And I think it's important for me personally that people stand up against bullies. And that's one of the reasons why I suppose my career has led me towards this sort of role. It's important to stand up and say, no, this is not acceptable, but not simply to talk about it, but to do something about it, and to try and deliver an environment where bullies with guns or machetes or with political power can be held to account for the things that they do. Because power without any accountability leads to what we'd call in English, I suppose, a totalitarian regime. And we've seen from the last history, from the last century, the history of the world, what happens in what can happen in totalitarian regimes. So I'm not sure whether that's answered your question. Follow your passions and your interests. Let your career take you naturally to where those interests draw you, but at the same time, have a goal. If you don't have a goal and something to aim at, then you're just walking around aimlessly in your career. If you have a goal or something drawing you towards that goal, then you have a path. You might not reach it, but at least you're heading in a right direction. If you don't know where you're going, well, imagine you get into your car without a map and you've got no idea where you're going. You just drive around aimlessly. Have a goal and have a direction and try and aim towards that, but accepting that the world will throw up all sorts of problems in your way and you may have to make many deviations and many detours, but you'll generally be on the right path. And if you follow what's sort of true in your heart and what you really want to do, and particularly your interests, then typically you will head towards that goal. Some people think about sort of setting themselves a goal to get to, and eventually they'll get there, but that's so far away that it's difficult really to know, isn't it? How do you end up there? I think of it more in sort of, I suppose my career has been in certain steps, not necessarily planned, but certain steps. So instead of just heading towards a distance path, I suppose I've got my rock, which is my goal. I've tied a rope to it and I've thrown it ahead of me. And I've gradually pulled myself towards it. And once I've got to it, I hopefully enjoyed being there for a bit of time, but then I've thrown another rock and I pull myself a bit closer. And eventually, maybe, I'll pull myself up the mountain.
Have you some advices to give us on our manner to work as journalists?
Maurice is probably the better person to give you advice on that. So I'll hand over to Maurice in a second. You have huge power. In this world, people tend to believe what they see on social media, newspapers, the television. They see it, they read it, and they get taken in with it. It could be a complete lie. But the power of communication is incredible. You can either use that power for good or for fun, or I'm afraid, quite often for evil. With great power, Spider-Man. Spider-Man? And I think it was his uncle who said to Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. So you have huge responsibility to seek out the truth, what you think the truth to be, and tell it in a way that does not make things worse but makes things better. Expose injustice. Use it for all the right things, not for all the wrong things. And then you will have truly, truly had a worthwhile career. What do you think, Maurice? What about, you've got some, I'm sure, other thoughts on journalism and communication.
So thank you for your question. To answer that, I would say that journalists carry a lot of power because journalistic information, communication is about information, and information is a key. In our work, when we go to the victim, they need to have the right information to go to the right place to seek for justice. And we often work with journalists because you are part of our work, actually. And you have this responsibility as journalists to enforce our voice, to give power to what we say, because it's you, we work with you as a relay. We rely to you to reach people that we cannot reach with the good information. We rely to you to advocate about justice, to advocate about, to advocate against crime, against humanity, and to really make the last person in Central African Republic, when, as we say, that the last person in the last part of the Central African Republic to understand what we are doing, why we are doing, and to connect him to our reality, to connect him to our world. And this is a huge power, because without your journalists, we cannot talk, we cannot, our voice cannot be heard. By the victim or by whoever needs to hear what we are saying. And if you look around the world, what is going on, thanks to journalists, we here in CAR, we know what is happening in Ukraine, we know what is happening in Afghanistan, people around the world know what is happening here in CAR, and that's a huge power, and knowledge is power, and with your work, you give people the knowledge, so you give people the power. That's why it's very, yeah, it's a huge responsibility, so thank you for your work and we praise you to do it well and continue to do it.
C'était tout pour ce podcast. Merci de nous avoir écoutés et à bientôt.
Thank you for your listening and see you soon.